traveling and away, I stepped away from the series that I was preaching back in May in John. And of course, we've just completed a series in Nehemiah. I think last Sunday I stressed, though, that I had just barely touched on Nehemiah. There's so much more to be learned from this incredible book, and I would encourage you to go back and take a look at it. But this morning, I'd like to move back into the book of John, and there's so much to be learned here. The last sermon that I preached in John was on May the 15th, and to be honest, I had to go back and check my notes myself to just see where exactly we had left off. Jesus and the disciples had traveled to Jerusalem to be part of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is an annual celebration where the nation would come together and remember the 40 years spent in the wilderness. There were all kinds of symbols during this feast. They served to remind the people of what God had done for them. The memories, and our memories, should be kept alive. What God has done for me. It's so important to remember this. And from one generation to the next, family members would leave their homes for a period of time and sleep in makeshift tents, much the same way that they did in the wilderness. And even today, if you were to go to Israel during this time period, during this feast, people will camp out on the roofs and in makeshift tents just to remember the God who had led them through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, and all of the symbolism, so that one generation to the next will remember this is what God has done. In Jesus' day, water was supplied to the altar. Remember we talked about the water gate with Nehemiah? Well, in Jesus' day, they continued with that, and each morning water was brought into the temple area and poured on the altar to commemorate that time when people drew water from the rock. And it was a reminder that God supplies both our needs and our spiritual needs, our physical and our spiritual needs. And He supplies the spiritual water of our salvation. Now, if you'll recall, back in the spring, I talked about, and this was from John 4, and Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman, remember? And she comes out to the well, and Jesus engages in this conversation with her. So from John 4, 13 and 14, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a living spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus gives us the water that refreshes and replenishes our souls. He alone provides the spiritual water that gives us life, that quenches this deep thirst that so many people are looking for. Jesus had just dealt with the religious leaders who brought a woman caught in the very act of adultery. And He challenges them that whoever's without sin can cast the first stone. You remember. Whoever's without the first stone, you throw the stone first. And one by one, they fade into the background, leaving Jesus with the woman alone. Her life was dark. Her life was hopeless. In her own strength, she felt unloved and rejected until Jesus administered His compassion and His grace into her life and into the situation that she found herself. After this, John tells us that Jesus speaks to the crowd. Now, this is still during the Feast of Tabernacles. And we read in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light." And this morning, I want to just take a few minutes of your time and camp on that verse. What is going on here? What is this all about? Now, keep in mind, John is writing to strengthen us as believers, to ensure that the blinders come off and that our spiritual eyes are renewed, that we might become fully alive in Him. And so the key verse in this whole series is this: "But these were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." That is the sum substance of why John recorded what he recorded: that we might believe and that we might have life in His name. "I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world." That's what Jesus said. I studied photography back in the 70s. I know that that was like forever ago for most of you. Doesn't seem that long ago for me, but it was a long time ago. And the way we take pictures today is, a lot has changed since the digital photography era has come in. I wish I understood cameras, digital cameras, the way Amanda does, the way I understand film cameras. The reality is digital photography is almost completely wiped out the old film cameras. So I have a couple antiques, three antiques sitting on one of my bookshelves in there, if you want to see what it used to be like. But one thing has remained the same in photography. Photography is still about how we use and record light. It's a balancing act between light and shadow. Light has a lot of different attributes. It has color. It has energy. It has speed. Light can penetrate and reveal. And it actually has age. In its absence, nothing can live. And photography is actually about how we store an image of light. Light that's been reflected off a person or an object or a thing. But it's about light. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world." When I started in photography, we were restricted to black and white film. This is where you learned how to use the camera and understand the various sensitivities of film. It was also where you learned to balance between light and shadow. And then we were introduced to color, and it was a whole new experience. We had to know what light temperature was all about, how you balanced light temperature, how you understood light temperature, and the various materials that reflect light. You know that not all materials reflect light the same way. It was much more complex than black and white, but in a lot of ways, I don't think it was as artistic. My thought. But one interesting thing about light is this: you have to continually keep coming back to the source. If you get cut off from the source of light, you know what you get? It's darkness. When you get cut off from the source, nothing lasts very long. For a minute, consider even our own video projector, what it's doing. It served us well. I don't know how long it's been up there, but I'm sure it's been there for a number of years. If we cut it off, just bing, done, you don't have anything. I'm the light of the world. If we get cut off from the source, what do we have? If the light is not connected to the power source, it fades rapidly. When light is connected, when light is really connected, it conquers darkness. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world." Now, for those of you that have done precept studies, you know that when a word is repeated in Scripture, it demonstrates its significance. we need to really pay attention. And when a word is repeated three times in Scripture, it places a very special emphasis on it. So I want you to just bear with me for a moment while I read some Scripture, and I think they'll appear behind me here. How John records the word light. Can we just flip to the next slide there and just follow along with me? In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. When Jesus spoke again in the temple, he said, and this is our verse, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, for that you may become sons of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. And John 12:46, I've come into the world as the light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Three times it places special emphasis on our understanding. What is John telling us about the light? I'm come. I am the light of the world. 15 times. It is of the utmost importance, the utmost significance, and we need to pay attention. We need to stay connected to this one who is the light of the world. You see, it's only under the laser of the light that Jesus takes control over the dark sin, and it's revealed in our lives and it's removed. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. The light is simply a further revelation of God's love for us. The light moves us from the dominion of sin, from the dominion of hopelessness, and gives us a foundation that we can build on. It enables us to understand life as God intended. It enables us to live out life in its truest sense. It takes the worry and it takes the fear out of death. It's only under the light of Christ that we can begin to see our own sinful nature and surrender and submit it to Him. Jesus calls us to a deeper relationship with Himself, and it comes with a promise, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And is this not the fulfillment of what John recorded in 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I am the light of the world. So we really need to step back and say, how can I align myself? How can I align my life with the light of Christ? How do we give Him first place in my life? How do we step out of ourselves that He may be master over everything? And you know, that is one of the toughest things for all of us to do, is to set our own agenda, our own desires, our own will aside, that we might align with this One who is the light. You see, when we get out of the way, when we are illumined by the light of Christ, we give Him first place. We establish Him as master over everything. We follow Him. And it's in His light that we are led. In the same way a camera records a reflected image of the real thing, our lives take on a reflection of Christ. If we're not connected to Him, the reflection begins to fade and grows dim. Eventually, it's unrecognizable. We might attempt to go through the motions, but the reality is Jesus isn't in it. And so very often I run into well-intended people who are going through the motions. And by all appearances, they look pretty good. But the reality is deep down inside, they know that Christ is not master. Jesus said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And that's the tip. That's the litmus test. Is there darkness in your life? Are the things that you're doing of God or not? And for some, maybe this morning, well, nobody's wearing a tie, I don't think, but maybe the collar's just getting a little tight anyway. Are you harboring resentments that aren't part of God's nature? Are you holding on to old grudges, reacting to the world around you that you know aren't pleasing to Him, and yet you're not surrendering them, you're not giving them over to Him? It's only under His light that these things are revealed. And then when they are revealed to us, what do we do with them? Light or darkness, that's our choice. And it's pretty simple. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. We live and move and breathe and have our being in the love of God. When we have the light of life, we are concerned. We are disturbed by the things that impact the heart of God. And hopefully we are so disturbed that we're willing to do something about them. The light of life is life that's full. It's life that's abundant. It's life that is not dependent on circumstance. Not dependent on possessions. Not dependent on my surroundings. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's what He's talking about when He says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. When we are experiencing the fullness of life, we are living a life of worship. Worship of the Savior who is King over all. When we follow closely, God reveals Himself. And in the words of Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We intentionally look for ways to do His will. Intentionally look for ways to be His witness, giving throughout our lives. Paul challenges us. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's in the light that we find soul satisfaction. It's in the light that we find completeness. It's in the light that God reveals all that He would have for us. My friends, are you walking in the light? Do you know the light in your life? Precious Lord, revealer of all things, You know the secret areas of our hearts. You know those things that we hang on to that aren't of You. Father, I pray that You will continue to reveal. Father, that it's under the substance of Your x-ray vision. Lord, that we will surrender every area of our lives, that we will know You. Father, if there's anyone today that is holding on to things that aren't pleasing to You, I pray, Lord, that they will surrender those to You right now. Lord, that they will confess it. And Father, that they will allow the light of life to just pick them up from where they are and set them free. Lord, I pray that we will be a holy people, a people continually pursuing righteousness, not that we have in any way, shape, or form obtained it, but Father, that we will be continually giving our lives over to You. Father, I pray Your blessing over us. Lord, in all that we do, that we might be a reflection of Christ in me, my hope of glory. Father, bless us this day. Go before us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Worship team.